Saturday morning. Time to start that Saturday morning routine. And what's a Saturday morning without... Well, yeah, that too. But you also gotta have... About Your House.
Oh, this old house once knew its children. This old house once knew its wife. This old house was home and comfort as we fought the storms of life.
About Your House is brought to you by
Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed contractor in North and South Carolina, servicing both residential and commercial with 7 offices. A trusted and professional foundation solution since 2002. If you have a problem, we have a solution. Call toll-free 877-770-7050 or online carolinafoundationsolutions.com.
Now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
Nippy, nippy, nippy. 32 degrees outside and ice and snow. I think more ice than anything. A little snow, a little slush. Roads are okay. Actually, if you don't have to go anywhere, don't. Hang in there. Just get your cup of coffee, your Bloody Mary, whatever is your fancy, and come on, sit down, relax. We here for 3 hours. This morning, George Hobel, my co-host, going to be here in a bit. He's running a little late. I got my buddy Ryan Locklear in the studio. We'll be talking to him about just about anything and everything. Darren Gardner on the board, along with Hacksaw's in the house. We all made it up, so, hey, it's not that bad. However, I will say this. Last night, I don't know, it was probably... What time did I leave Christopher's? About 8 o'clock or something. It was treacherous going home in the on 485. A Mustang spun out beside me, and I just kept getting it. And then I watched a tractor-trailer semi try to – I watched him where he was headed, and I said, there ain't no way he's going to make that. No way. And here comes the trailer sliding sideways. I said, oh, my goodness, this ain't looking good. And then he collected it back up and straightened it out and made it on through. And, it was amazing. Anyway, glad that's over. Made it home okay, safe and sound, and life is good. But if you don't have to go anywhere for the next couple hours, hang low and just be safe. And also, when you go out your door this morning, don't go out there in a big hurry, okay? Take your time. You'll bust and fall and hurt your butt. may be worse. Falls are horrible. Falls are terrible. You know, you never realize how bad falls are until you take one. And when you consider your weight, dead weight, hitting the ground, not a good thing. Not a good thing. So be careful, okay? Just be careful out there.
And don't be afraid to give, like, you know, yourself just an extra few minutes, you know, to get everything defrosted and everything else. And don't use hot water on your windshield.
No,
I don't know why I have to keep bringing it up.
No, don't use hot water on your windshield, folks, unless you don't like it, because you will be replacing it. It will crack, I promise you. Hot water, no. Lukewarm, no. Moderate, okay. Tepid, maybe. Hot, no. Don't do that.
No.
Don't work. Best thing to do is get up, go outside, crank your car up, let it run, let it warm up, let it thaw out. Mine ran for about 15 minutes this morning before I ever got in it, because I want to be warm, frankly, and I wanted all the ice off my window, and it was. So therefore, think ahead. And the roads aren't terrible, folks. Nope. If you have to go, you can. But if you shouldn't, don't. I mean, you know, if you don't have to go anywhere, don't. Just hang low. That's all you got to do. But be careful, please. And you children out there, have a fun day playing in the slush and the ice and the snow. In the snow. I don't know how many people lost power, if at all, last night. I don't think it was bad enough to cause any power outages, but if you do, and you know, if the past 2 weeks haven't taught you anything, you need to be prepared for power outages. Now, what do I mean by that? Flashlights, you know, radio, a way to receive information, okay, as well as a way to heat. Keep warm, not freeze to death, you know? And, you know, you got to think and prepare. Food. You need food. You need your emergency medical medications and all that. So let's think, because the past 2 weeks we've seen some weather, and I'm sure we'll see some more this winter.
And also, like with flashlights and all that stuff, making sure you have the batteries and everything, because that's the worst thing. You have a battery, or you have a flashlight that you haven't used in a year, and it's not working anymore. It's dead, and you don't have any batteries to replace it. What do you do?
You're without. You know. And another thing you always want to keep on hand are lighters.
Yes.
Cigarette lighters. Always keep cigarette lighters on hand. Not one, several, just in case. Candles. Now, granted, it's a flame and you need to use precaution, but candles, keep candles on hand. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, may not have heat. So what are they going to do for heat? You can make a simple heater using bricks and a clay pot. Bricks and a clay pot and one candle. Using the bricks stacked up on each, making a hole in the middle, stack bricks up on each side, put a candle between them, and put the clay pot over the candle on the bricks, and you'd be surprised. That right there will keep you from freezing to death. And if you enclose the room, shut all the doors, you would be surprised how effective that kind of small homemade heater can benefit you. So just a note. But now there again, you've got open flame. And people, folks, remember, carbon monoxide's a killer, a silent killer, a silent, you can't smell it, has no smell, and it will kill you. So use precaution. You know, when it gets cold, there's nothing worse than cold. It's harsh. It's bitter. It hurts you. A lot of people can't take the cold. So on that note, have you checked on your neighbors lately? You know, this is the time of the year and the time that we need to be, you know, January and February are, How would I put this? They're the slackest months of the year when it comes to money, because Christmas just was over. You know, some people stretch themselves thin and went out on a limb for Christmas, and now here January is, and they're broke. So let's check on our neighbors. Let's check on other people around you. Make sure they're okay. And, you know, especially the elderly, because they won't ask for it. They won't reach out. So spread the love. Spread the love. That's what we must do. All right. Charlotte, what's it called? The Greater Charlotte Home and Landscape Show. I have tickets, and I'll give them away. All you have to do is call us, 704-227-8800. It is the Greater Charlotte Home and Landscape Show, January 28th through the 30th. That's next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Yeah. Now, where is it at? The Cabarrus Arena up in Concord. Up 49. If you go Highway 49 through Harrisburg, about another, maybe 6-7 miles, it'll be on the left. You can't miss it. And I've got tickets. They're $9 values, meaning that if you go to the door, you're going to pay $9 a piece for these tickets. But I'll be glad to give you two. And I can mail them to you Monday morning. You'll have them before next Friday. And you can go. You know, home shows used to be big. Back in the 90s, I was with NARI, the National Association of Remodeling Industry of Greater Charlotte, and we were very involved in the Southern Ideal Home Show. And now, Southern Shows used to own the Southern Ideal Home Show and Southern Christmas Show, but they've all been bought out and sold to another company, so things have changed. Now, home shows, they have fallen tremendously in popularity due to the internet. We were very involved in the shows back in the 90s, and they were very popular. Big attendance. But as things went more and more computer and the internet got more popular and everybody got on YouTube, and I mean, the internet has taken over home shows, basically. Yeah. And people just don't attend like they used to. I remember in the past decade talking to exhibitors, companies, constituents in the industry, remodelings, granite companies, glass companies, remodeling companies, landscapers, all that, and asking them, how was the show? And not too good, meaning the turnout wasn't there. If you're in a home show, you definitely want to see people. You go there to sell your wares, your products, your services, so you want great attendance. Well, I'm sitting here saying there's going to be a home show next weekend, the Greater Charlotte Home and Landscape Show at the Cabarrus Arena up Highway 49. And be glad, like I said, I will be glad to give you tickets if you just call us, 704-227-8800. And actually, what they got here is, I'm just reading the prices right off the website here. Adult ages 13 plus is $7. Discount off regular price. That's online, by the way. Regular price, door price is $9. So, you can go online and do it. Whatever you want to do. That's fine with me. I'm curious, so if you go, I'm going to find out how the show was after the show next week, and we'll give you a report on it. Hopefully, they'll have great attendance with a good turnout. Weather, long-range weather. Let's see what the weather is for the next 10 days. As soon as my little old computer here will get to it. Oh, a beautiful week ahead tomorrow. Oh, look at that. Mostly sunny tomorrow, 23rd, high 50. Wow, going right up to 50. 41's the high today, which is a good thing. All the slush will be gone away. It'll be slushy tonight, getting down to 24. So it will be freezing tomorrow morning. Just get up a little late before you go to church. Take your time, warm the car up. But here next week, it's going to be mostly sunny all week, partly cloudy a few days, but looking like a good week ahead of us, mostly in the mid-50s, Tuesday, Wednesday, forward in the 40s through Friday, and next Saturday, 43. A good week ahead. Good, because I got to do some work. Those back-ordered appliances came in for two jobs. I got my work cut out for me. So today on today's show, we had a plumber, a female plumber scheduled, Mary Kiger, with All About the Pipes Plumbing, but she's not coming in due to the weather and, you know, being safe. George Hoba will be in the house when he's running a little behind this morning. I got my friend here, Ryan Locklear. Ryan's up here. He's our new website guy, and he's going to be helping us put the aboutyourhouseradio.com website, along with puttoolsandschools.org website, updating them, getting us connected to the website more so, to where we can share information and you can just go there as a reference and a resource. Because frankly, we hadn't touched it in about 2 years. It's stale. Yeah. Terrible. But we'll fix it. Yep, we'll fix it. And then we'll keep you up to date on various things that are going on, you need to know, such as Put Tools in Schools. This coming Thursday, at 6 o'clock, I'm having a little get-together, a little meeting for Put Tools in Schools. The whole purpose behind it is to get people involved. A lot of you out there don't know what to do or how to help, you know, with kids getting tools back in schools, or better yet, engaging children with tools, with awareness of a career pathway that otherwise they won't know exist. They're not going to tell them. They don't talk about tools. They don't talk about the trades. Well, we as parents, uncles, aunts, whatever, we can get in the schools and we can address the kids. We can engage them with tools. So this Thursday, we're going to be at Emerald Lake Golf Club. It's not a country club. Emerald Lake Golf Club. So that's at 6 o'clock Thursday evening. Anybody can come. We want your help. And help doing what? We've got an event April 2nd. April 2nd, a trades career fair at Titan Solar Power. We're going to need help there. I'll talk more about it, but we got to take a break. We're going to take a break. We'll come back on the other side with more about your house. 704-227-8800. The Greater Charlotte Home and Landscape Show. I got tickets. Give us a call. You can have them. We'll be right back. We go, 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 go. You can play it fast and then we'll take it slow. That's where we wanna go. We gotta go, 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 go.
The biggest lie you ever told, the deepest fear about growing old, the longest night you ever spent, the angriest letter you never sent, the boy you swore you'd never leave, the one you kissed on New Year's Eve, the sweetest dream you had last night, your darkest hour, your hardest fight. I wanna know you like I know myself. Thank you.
makes you laugh, what makes you cry, what makes you mad, what gets you by, your highest high, your lowest low, these are the things I wanna know.
For the little delay there, we've got a little commotion going on here. George Hobel, he got up.
Yeah, I got up. I think I rolled out of bed when you texted me.
Really? It is one of the. Honestly, I didn't think we'd make it today.
Yeah.
Last night, coming, you know, going home from Christopher's, we had a meeting, and I just. This morning when I woke up at 5:30, I said, I doubt if we're going to go. Then I call Hacksaw here, and he's on his way.
Trucking up, man.
He was on his way. So I said, well, I guess we're going to go do radio.
I went out last night at midnight. My wife thought I was crazy to see how the roads were. And it just looked like snow, so it looked like fun. Okay.
Yeah.
I've got a little Toyota Tacoma, four-wheel drive. I'm going to go. And I went around the intersection at Park Road and Fairview and almost did a 360 in four-wheel drive.
Yeah, I don't doubt
That's when I said, yeah, there's ice underneath this snow. It's not good.
Well,
they never salted the roads this time.
They didn't.
Well, but
once a month. You get salt once a month in Charlotte.
The temps last night, you know, and it's rare here in the past, and I talk about this from time to time, it's rare that we have a 24-hour period where we're below freezing the whole 24 hours. Well, we did yesterday.
Yep.
We were below freezing all day yesterday. So it was really primo weather conditions yesterday in Charlotte. When I went out, you know, on the way to our meeting, I said, this looks like snow in Charlotte. It smells like snow. And sure enough, it started coming down and, you know, had a nice little shower. So it was good. But it's over. So let's, everybody, it's over. Have fun. Wasn't it a blast?
Good.
Kids, you know, well, good to have you here.
Yeah.
Sorry that Mary couldn't make it. About the pipes.
Yes, I sent her a message last night. I said, Mary, stay home.
Yeah.
We'll have her back in.
Oh, sure.
Again, that's Mary with All About the Pipes. And we're talking about not just getting the youth in the trades, but women.
Oh, yeah, women.
And
I was talking about before the break, you know, that's part of what this gathering, January 27th, this coming Thursday evening at Emerald Lake Golf Club, 6 o'clock. I don't know how many people show up, but if you've ever had any desire to help with this mission, and, you know, we talk a lot about the trades needing labor, you know. Well, that is a big part of it. But to me, it's not the most important part. The most important part is exposing the kids to different career pathways that otherwise they won't get to see or experience prior. They won't if we don't show them, because schools don't tell them. They don't show them.
You know, I've heard this a long time. How do people get into the trade? The people that are in them, that are your age, my age, 40s, whatever, how did they make the decision to get into the trades to do what they're doing? And most of the time you'll hear them say, oh, it's just something I wound up doing.
Right. A lot of people fall into it.
That's it.
Literally just kind of, you know, they get a job. And the job might be helping in an HVAC company or an electrical company or a mechanic. You know, they're just helping out and they kind of gravitate to it. And they like it. They stick with it, you know. But there are career pathways we need to provide, show our kids. That's what we're going to meet and talk about. We're not going to make a mountain out of a molehill. We just want parents. Frankly, what I'd love to see is young men, parents, fathers, get in the schools their kids are in and be a part of exposing kids to the tools. of the trades, of service. You know, we're not talking about just construction trades. We're talking about service, service jobs, manufacturing jobs. There are so many opportunities out there other than going to college. Because even when I ask children or students, well, what are you going to do when you grow up? Well, I'm getting a degree in so-and-so. They don't teach you how to answer questions either, do they, in school? The question was, what are you going to do when you grow up? Not what degree you're going to get. See, that's what irks the hell out of me, to be quite frank, is they're going to get a degree in something. They have no idea what they're going to do. To me, that just don't make sense. It's like you're wasting time and money, and you're going to be paying that debt off the rest of your life. Let's switch this thing up. How can we do it? Come on, Thursday night, January 27th, this coming. Let's talk about it. You know, let's talk about it. I'm not a big meeting person, okay? I'm not all about meetings, because most time we just get together, talk, no action. No. If you come to this one, I want to know your name, how to get in touch with you, what you can do. And everybody thinks you got to know about tools. No. You don't have to know about tools. If you want to learn about them, we're going to teach you about them. You know. So it's all about attitude. All about attitude. If you want to learn, we're going to teach. And we're going to teach kids, we're going to teach young adults, old adults, whatever. I'll tell you, I sent these notices out yesterday.
I got mine.
And I got an email back from a gentleman. And he said, Ray, I'm tired of counting numbers. Accounting's gotten old. I know I'm a little older, but it's never too late to make a career change, I'm thinking. And that's inspiring to me, because, folks, if you're not happy with corporate America, and why would you be? good benefits, good pay. Yeah, that's what I hear. It's a good pay. Is your job pay? Is that what it's all about? To me, it's happiness and purpose. If you feel purpose-filled and you're happy, hey, life is good. The money will come. That's my mantra anyway, you know, but I truly see it every day. When you're happy and you have purpose, you know, the money will be there. You'll figure it out. It'll work out. Has it with you?
Oh, I would not last very long in a corporate position.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, I did.
I'm happy. Now, the other thing, and it may be too early to get into this, but I saw, you know, the thing with the Supreme Court and the mandate that was struck down, okay, for the vaccines. And you got companies now like Starbucks they're not going to enforce, they were going to enforce it, and now it's off the table, okay? And there are other companies out there doing the same thing. And if you were in a corporate position, you almost didn't have a choice. Almost. You did have a choice, but you almost didn't. To keep your job, you were going to have to get the vaccine.
The jab.
Right. Now that the government has backed off of it, there are people who have already lost their jobs. And who's responsible? They're going to, you know, the vaccine maker was not held liable for any damages, right?
Yep.
But the employer who fired an employee based on something the government's not going to stand behind now. If I was an employee that lost my job due to the vaccine mandate, I think there's a lawsuit there.
This just beginning, George. This quagmire.
This is why it all happened, though. It happened just to create the confusion.
Yep. It's called mass psychosis. That ain't a conspiracy theory. I'm tired of that word, too. Conspiracy theory. Turn your TV off and go find the truth. But don't get me going on that. I'd like to stay away from all that. Because people, there is no right way that I can talk about it without getting, I would call it upset, frustrated, actually, because, well, anyway, let's just stay away from it. But, yeah, we're just – it's a quagmire, George, and it's going to be. Probably the biggest – this is the biggest scam in the history of the planet, and it will go down as such.
Yeah, buckle up.
Yep. And it ain't over, folks, so we'll just leave it at that. But we're going to spread the love on About Your House. Yes, we are. And you and I want to have a conversation on the show today about what you do. What you do. Now, we've had it before, but I want to go into a little bit more depth about it.
Excellent.
You know, because, George, what do you do, George?
Well, I found my path. Okay.
You found your purpose.
I found my path, and it took me a long time. I was 50, 52, 54 when I finally realized, okay, this is it. And all of a sudden everything became fun. It's not like going to work anymore. It probably shouldn't have taken that long, but I picked up an incredible amount of experience along the way.
Oh, absolutely.
Which set me apart today.
Not only that, it helped put you in the position of being happy.
Yes.
With that purpose.
Yes.
If you hadn't have gone that road, it wouldn't happen. And it's just like we, the industry, we want to put tools in schools to give kids different roads. Different avenues of
options.
Approach to life.
Yes.
Not just the career, to life, purpose. And that's kind of where you went. And I've traveled the same path, you know.
I just knew that, you know, the story that you tell about putting tools in schools to give the kids the options, they don't even know what apprenticeship is. They don't even know that there's good opportunities in the trades, that there's a fantastic career, earning potential is there, happiness is there. They don't know that because they're given this one path. You know, they go sit with their guidance counselor, and the guidance counselor looks at their grades and how well they do with their teachers and whatever, and they say, okay, now here's how you direct yourself to get to college. Pick one of the 24 or 30 or whatever colleges out there. Pick some and make your applications. Start making them early because that's how you get in, okay? Well, that's the only path they're really shown.
And they're taught that. They're taught and driven down this because when, in the fifth grade, you ask them, who's going to college? All kids, raise your hand.
Yeah.
They feel like they're less than...
Sure.
If they don't raise their hand. Now, that in itself is a crime. It ain't right. Why should someone feel less than because you're not going to a four-year college?
That's a hate crime.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
So I never liked following the path.
That's why we get along, George.
I never liked following the rule. And I go all the way back to, I think it was 10th grade, going from 9th to 10th grade. And everybody, you know, they got you all on this path. And everybody in 10th grade takes chemistry. No, biology.
Right.
And then in 10th grade, they all take chemistry. And then in 12th grade, they all take physics. This was when I went to school. I don't know what they do today. But I didn't want to take biology. I had no interest in becoming a doctor or any of those fields.
Right.
And I told my guidance counselor, I said, I don't want to take, why do I have to take biology? I had introduction to biology kind of in seventh grade. And then in eighth grade, I forget what we had. We had physics in eighth grade. And then in ninth grade, we had like introduction to chemistry. And I said, wouldn't it be smart? I enjoyed chemistry. Wouldn't it be smart for me to go straight from introduction to chemistry right into chemistry, okay, for 10th grade? And they said, well, then you'll be skipping biology. I said, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And they said, no, nobody, here's what they told me. Nobody's ever done that before. And I said, yeah, but that's what I want to do. And they said, no. And I was in 10th grade, what are you, 16, 15?
Yeah.
Okay, I said... No, that's the way I want to go. And again, they'd say, nobody's ever done that before. And it was me and my buddy, and we did it together, and we held our, we dug our feet into the concrete, and eventually they let us skip biology. And it was really kind of cool because it put me in, now I'm a 10th grader in chemistry, and it, we didn't just skip biology, we were in the advanced placement courses too. So here I was a 10th grader, but all my classmates were in 11th grade.
Right.
So I was really put in a room that I had to perform.
Right.
Because everybody else was already ahead of me. And then we went into 11th, and I remember the teachers were looking at me and him, and they're like, who are these guys? You know, who do they think they are? Anyway, we did okay. And then in 10th grade, I'm with the 11th graders, okay? But here's the neat thing that we didn't even anticipate. In 12th grade, we had already taken physics. Well, they didn't have another course for us. So we didn't, we got like, we had a year without science.
Right.
But that's when computers were starting to come in and right. you could have done stuff like that. I didn't do that. But the point of the story was, I didn't like their path, okay? And I was talking with a friend earlier this week, and remember, there's a poem, Robert Frost. I saw two roads that diverged in the wood, and they were asking me about something that had to do with that, and I said, well, my answer to that is, well, now there's three. Because I made my own. I didn't take either
of those. Yeah, you know, and that's something that we want to instill in the, I guess, the team of people that goes into helping with put tools in schools, it is to inspire leadership and courage. Courage. Because, see, fear is lack of courage. And fear is so abundant in the kids of today. They're afraid to fail. You know, and we've got to inspire better leaders to go in and to inspire kids to be leaders and more courageous to attempt things that they have fear behind, you know, behind.
That's the thing, to be willing to attempt things.
Yeah. Eliminate the fear, be courageous, and go. Like people say, and you've had people ask, well, have you ever done that before?
Done what?
You know, well, have you ever done that? Oh. You know, you go into a house, and I'm going to cut a granite top. Yeah. I'm going to cut a granite top. The guy looked at me and says, have you ever done this before? I looked up and says, no, it's my first one. He was speechless. He didn't know what to say.
I've done that.
Yeah. I says, yeah. And then he looked at me like, he was like, he didn't know what to say.
Yeah, I didn't know you could do that.
And then I looked at him and said, just kidding. Yeah, I've done a few, you know, but it's amazing. Be courageous. We need to put courage back in society because people are not courageous as a whole.
Well, they're coddled.
To say the least. Codependency 101, big time. You know, that is abundant everywhere. So, and, you know, and then they look to blame when something's wrong. Blame.
I think about growing up and, you know, today, if you make your kids cry, they don't ask what did the kid do. They just look at you and say, you're not supposed to do that. You could go to jail.
I'm sick of that crap.
My dad would have been in jail a lot. but he taught me to, I mean, it was fearful, I'll be honest with you. Some of the things that the way that he taught me how to swim by throwing me off the boat.
Oh, sure.
He threw me off the bow.
You're an animal. You will swim.
Yeah.
You will swim.
I'm screaming and shouting and kicking and splashing and saying, I'm drowning. And it didn't faze him at all. He said, no. He said, you're swimming.
You're talking.
Yeah.
You're doing fine.
Yeah. Child abuse.
Yep. 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 You got any siblings?
Yeah.
How many?
Four.
Four. So it's five kids.
Yeah.
Wow. What
about you?
I got two brothers.
Okay. Older, younger?
I got one younger and one younger. What? 6 years younger, 4 years older. Yep. Yep.
Okay.
There you go. Yeah, my father was a disciplinarian.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny, he'd come sit in the living room and sit in his chair, and we make too much noise. He'd just snap his fingers, you know, snap them. And room got quiet.
Yeah.
And it better have. Next thing was, he was slick. He could, if he wanted to watch the news, you know, and he really wanted to watch the news, you know, that's time, shut up, okay? Now, if we didn't shut up, he'd reach down and unbuckle his belt.
Oh, boy.
He'd reach and just unbuckle his belt. That did it.
That did it.
Typically. Yeah. Every now and again, though, we didn't take heed.
Nope.
And,
yep.
And he was slick. He could take that belt off and whoop it out and pap you across the room.
I've been there.
And people say, oh, that's abuse. No, it ain't. It's getting it done.
It worked.
It worked and worked well. But them are the good old days. But I'll tell you this. My father was a good man, and I miss him. And if you've got your father with you and he's in your life, you better treasure it. If he's a good man, and if he's abusive man, let someone know. But if he's a good man, love him. Care for him while he's here, because he won't be here forever. One day he's going to go away, and he's gone. So remember, every day is a great day when you got a father and a mother. One of the largest problems in this country today is not enough fathers, not enough male role models. There's a lot of fatherless children. There again, we can help with that, with Put Tools in Schools. We're going to take a break here. Come back more about your house. George Hobel's in the house with me, Ray Terry. We'll even talk to Ryan Locklear here in a minute. He's a bit doing a little observation. He's in the house. And by the way, he's going to fix our website for us. That's what this man's going to do. So, we'll be right back with more about your house. This emptiness that I live without you. This loneliness inside, darling, makes me feel half alive. Hobel's in the house. Ray Terry
with
here.
With Ray Terry.
And without Ray Terry. either with or without. George Hobel is going to be sitting in a lot this year in place of me. And I will say, somebody just called and asked a question, because I mentioned it last week, I think, that I think I mentioned Mary was coming in town, and people that know me know. I did?
I don't think you mentioned all
that. I didn't? Okay. Well, anyway. Well, then I'm sorry. I'll forget it. We'll just let that go. No. last Saturday is when we had the big ice storm in it. Last Saturday night. Yeah, it was last Saturday, because I got a hotel room in South Charlotte and over in the Ballantyne area. And, man, it was beautiful. I loved it because, you know, you could see out the, well, I was on the top floor of the hotel. It was nice. But, yeah, I had a great weekend. Great weekend. And due to last weekend, I will be taking off 3 weeks in February from the show. February 26th, March 5th, and March 12th. I will not be in town. Jerry Eisenhower is going to sit in for me on the 26th. George Hobel will be here the 5th of March. And I don't know who's going to be here the 12th, but we'll discuss and have somebody sitting in. But I'm going to Cozumel. I've never been to Cozumel. Have you been to Cozumel?
No.
You ever? You know, I never thought I would get to scuba dive in my life. I never did.
The water is beautiful.
But have you been to Cozumel?
I have.
Ryan's been to Cozumel. Okay, but she's going to stay. She's staying down there, you know, the whole month of February and March. She's going to Cancun for a month, and she's going to Cozumel for a month, Airbnbs. You can live down there on cheap. Anyway, so I got a vacation coming up. I'm looking very much forward to it.
Nice.
The crystal blue waters of Cozumel, and, you know, the carnival's a big event down there, but they may postpone it this year because of, well, I don't need to tell you what, because, you know, because of all the mayhem. But anyway, just wanted to, up front, I will be out, and thank you, George, for sitting in the way you're doing and getting the guest in-house. And
we got more coming.
And I appreciate
Mary will be back. She's not on the show. If you tuned in to listen to Mary with All About the
Pipes,
we gave her the day off because the roads were icy. We didn't want to be responsible for somebody sliding off the road. And,
right.
Ray and I walked here. We didn't drive. Yeah. We walked.
Yeah, sure. However, it wasn't that bad. The roads weren't that bad this morning.
No, it was worse last night at midnight than it was this morning.
Oh, yeah. Oh, heck yeah. Last night was brutal. I was so glad I got home. I said, ooh, I'm glad I'm here. Yeah. It just wasn't fun. Anyway, George Hobel, we were talking earlier about what you'd... Well, let me back up 1 second here. I got home show tickets to Greater Charlotte Home and Landscape Show. And, you know, and I want to talk a little bit about that. If you're looking to get help in a project or something, Anna Stowe is going to be there at the show. Now, who is Anna Stowe? I don't know. Go online and look her up. She's grab your plans and ideas and meet 101 with interior designer Anna Stowe. She will be available throughout the show for brief consultations. All right. As well as LaToya Falston of She Built This City is going to be on the presentation stage talking about what they're doing in the community with kids and young females. She Built This City. So I just want to throw that out there. But if you want to go to the show, just got to call me. I'll mail these tickets to you. And 704-227-8800 is the phone number here at the studio. Love to talk to you. So there you go.
Did you mention that this one is at the Cabarrus Arena?
I did.
Okay.
Cabarrus Arena, up Highway 49, past Harrisburg, about 5-7 miles, something like that. It'd be on the left. You can't miss it. Easy to get to. Easy to find. Good parking. Good place.
Oh, they got plenty of parking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, have you been to a home show lately?
It's been several years. I've worked some, though.
They're just not what they used to be.
I'm sure.
They have died out, like, unbelievably over the past decade.
Well, people are getting to be afraid to be around people.
Not only that, it's internet, too. You can go online now and see so much stuff that you don't have to go anywhere to see. And when the internet became popular, the attendance at these home shows dropped dramatically. I would check because I loved home shows. I've been in so many through the years. It's incredible how many I've been in. But there came a time where I said, I'm done. I ain't doing this. Yeah. It's a waste of my time.
Yeah.
And a lot of others have concluded the same thing because you can, you know, you with the internet being what it is, you know, it's not what it was back in the day. So anyway, the biggest popular show in Charlotte is the Southern Christmas Show. It's always a very popular show and has great attendance. So anyway, moving on. We were talking earlier about George Hobel, what do you do? You know, I ask you, what do you do?
Yes.
What do you do?
Well, today I design homes and additions and renovations. I design solutions for people's homes to make them fit. I design solutions for homes to make them fit their people better. That's what I do. Do you ever have a pebble in your shoe?
Yep.
You got to get it out. You can't. How long are you going to walk around with a pebble in your shoe?
Not long.
No, you take it off and you get it out. Well, people got pebbles in their homes. And they got, what do I mean by that? They got things in their house that aren't performing the way they would like to. For instance, we've got five kids. We have three bedrooms. That it's not working out.
Right.
We got a tiny laundry room. You know, I've seen this a lot. The laundry room in the kitchen, you know, behind two closet doors, there's the laundry equipment.
Bifold doors.
The laundry equipment doesn't belong in the kitchen. Okay?
That's dysfunctional. I agree.
Okay?
I agree.
So find another place to put that. And you can do that. You can get creative.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to add on. Sometimes you just do a little moving around and renovating. But that's what I do. I've designed solutions for homes to make them fit their people better.
Got it. And that makes a lot of sense.
How many people live in a home that was designed for them?
Not, relatively speaking, very few.
Probably almost about the same number as people that live in a career that wasn't designed for them.
Great point.
Okay?
Yeah.
My point is, you can have a home that fits. You can have a suit that fits. Okay? You can go to... Is JCPenney still around?
Yeah.
You can go to JCPenney. You can go to Sears and buy a suit off the shelf. And I've done that years ago. But I'm telling you what, when you go to get a suit and get it fitted, made for you, it's different.
Oh, yeah.
It's different.
Yeah.
It costs a lot more money, but I'm worth it. Okay? Well, I like to look at my clients and say, you're worth it. You're worth a home that fits. Okay.
Right.
Whether it's a new home, you want to start from the ground up, or you have a home, you love where you are, and you want to just make it fit. Okay. That's what I do. I make the blueprints.
You draw the plans.
Yeah.
And get them approved by engineers or whatever is needed for permitting purposes.
Yes.
Correct. And you handle all that.
Yes.
All right. Now, my question is, do you prefer new or remodel?
You know, I really enjoy remodeling. I enjoy the challenge. I'll tell you what, when a client comes to me and says, you know, we've had three or four builders out here, and they're all telling us, just tear it down and start over. That ain't
your approach.
That's when I perk up. I say, no, wait a minute. Why do you want to tear all this down?
Right.
Let's see how we can make this...
functional.
Become something new.
Right.
And I love doing that.
Yeah.
And to me, honestly, it's a little bit easier because I've got something to start with. You know, you look at crystals. They won't grow unless they have something to start with. An oyster makes a pearl, but it's got to have a little chunk of sand to start that pearl.
Right.
Okay? Well, that's what remodeling and renovation is. I've got something to start with, and then I can twist it and stretch it and do some really fun things with it. New construction, I do that as well, but it's a different, you got to have the idea, the seed has to come from within.
Right.
Which I can do that also, but it's a different process.
Oh, I know. That's why I brought it up, because remodeling is different from new building.
Even in when they're building it. If you talk to a builder, if you're getting ready to remodel your home, you want a builder that's familiar with remodeling.
Oh, yeah. A remodeler is people say it's a whole different. Wait a minute. Construction's construction.
No.
No, it ain't either.
No.
No.
No, the guy who's building new homes never has to work around the family that lives in the house. That's the biggest thing.
Well, I gave a talk about that to teachers one year at the Southern Teachers Conference, okay? And they said, what's your topic going to be, Ray? And I said, the difference in between new construction and remodeling in residential setting.
Yeah.
Okay. And the biggest difference, and you just said it, the biggest difference is homie's there. They're living in your house typically in remodeling. In new construction, ain't nobody living
there.
And that dynamic itself is tremendous.
It's tremendous. Well, for me, honestly, I didn't do a whole lot in new construction until later on. But I looked at the Ryan homes and the Crosland homes and the folks that did that kind of construction, and they never had interaction with the people.
I know.
With the people who are going to live there. And I'm sorry, I like people, okay? And that's probably why I really enjoy what I do now, is because I get to work one-on-one with the people that are going to use it. New construction, you don't get that.
Exactly.
It's just about numbers.
All right, we got to take a top of the hour break here. First hour's gone. Where did it go? Hit zoom by. So let's do another one. We're going to take a top of the hour break here. We're going to come back with more about your house, discuss how go about planning and what kind of designer you want. Who's doing it for you? Are you happy? Are you not? What do you look for? That, a lot more, right here on About Your House. 704-227-8800 is the number. You're listening to Fox Sports Charlotte. Download the free app, Fox Sports Charlotte. Hear us anywhere. Stream live, 94.7 FM, or on your browser, foxsportsradiocharlotte.com. There you go. Hear us anywhere, anytime. All the archive shows, they're right there. Come on back. We'll be here.
Nothing like a little breakfast to get you going in the morning. You know, they say it's the most important meal of the day. Of course, breakfast is always better when you can enjoy it with About Your House.
Well, this old house once knew its children. This old house once knew its wife. This old house was home and comfort as we fought the storms of life.
About Your House is brought to you by Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed contractor in North and South Carolina, servicing both residential and commercial with 7 offices. A trusted and professional foundation solution since 2002. If you have a problem, we have a solution. Call toll-free 877-770-7050 or online, carolinafoundationsolutions.com. Now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
This year version, Saturday. What is the date? 22nd?
Yeah,
January 22nd, 2022. This month's done come and gone. My goodness, time flies.
We got snow twice in 1 month.
Yeah, wow. Hadn't done that in a couple years. Well, hey, we'll have a winter this year, maybe. We'll talk more about plumbing and freezing pipes.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, down the road. And Mary would have been here. She could have told us some stories, and she'll be back. Yeah, plumbing stories are always great, you know, always great stories. Man, love sitting back listening to a plumber of many years tell some stories, because I know I'm not a plumber. I've done a lot of plumbing in my life, a lot, and I could tell you a few stories, but I'll save them for a rainy day. We're talking to George before the break about designing, you know, new versus remodeling. What is your process in designing for someone, George?
Step one, I need to get to know them. Okay, I had a client just recently ask me if it was important for me to come out and see the lot. Now this was a new construction design, so it was an empty piece of ground. And they asked me if I would consider coming out, and I said, "Are you kidding me? That's required. Okay, I've got to come out and spend some time with you. I'm designing your home. I've got to get to know you, and I'll learn things by talking with you. That you know, I'll pick things up. You'll have a list, and you're going to share with me your list. But I learn more about you from you than I do from your list. So that's step one, is get to know my client. And to do that, you got to be a good listener. So I'm learning.
And you got to know both of them. If there's two people.
Yes.
And I bet you never have a one-legged meeting up front, do you?
It doesn't work.
Won't. I wouldn't do it.
No.
If I had a, and this is important, folks, if you're listening. You know, when you're dealing with your home and a remodeler comes out there and doesn't insist on meeting both decision makers, you're wasting time. You really are wasting the meeting. Because, first of all, I wouldn't do it. My husband's got to work and all this. Well, I'm sorry if he's not going to be there. Now, I would go, and if the husband looked at me, for one thing, I said, who's writing the checks? I would ask that point blank. And then I said, you know, okay. And I've had husbands look at me before. Yep. Ray, you make her happy, all's good in the world. I said, so you're done?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's got this.
Yeah.
Now, if he looks at me and tells me that, I said, okay, you're out.
Yeah.
Bye.
That's good.
I'm cool. But I've got to hear it. And here's another thing. Husbands and wives, y'all play each other a lot.
I'm telling you, I've got a client right now that I met last week. And I thought I was going to I was showing up the house to meet both of them. Okay. I get to the house and neither one of them are there. But the wife came home about 5 minutes and showed me what the addition, the renovation that they were looking to do. And she told me what her husband wanted, but said, we're not going to do that. We're not going there today.
Oh, no, that's okay. A red flag.
So I left. I took my measurements and things and said, I'll reach back out to you next week. Well, I did that and went back out to the project a few days later to measure the house up, and now she's not there, but the husband's there. So he got to add what he wanted, and I said, you know, your wife said she was trying to steer me away from this. He's like, it's okay. This is what I want. And it worked out good for me because the project became twice as large as it was going to be. But it was very interesting because they each wanted their own thing. Two entirely separate projects.
And there's another reason.
Because they're not communicating.
They don't. Isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
And then when I would have so-and-so say, well, Frank said, where's Frank? You know, let him tell me. You know, and I know that sounds crazy, but don't play one against the other. And you know what I'm talking about, right, George? I mean, the way they play, no,
Yeah, that's trouble.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's learning to work with people.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's great.
You know, you're talking about putting tools in schools so that the kids can know that they have an opportunity to work with their hands and learn how to have a career in the trades. But it's also about learning to work with people. Okay. Which, you know, I don't know how much I've never had a corporate job.
Right.
The largest company I ever worked for had 8 people total. Okay. I don't know what it's like to work in a cubicle where you really are just a number. Okay.
Right.
And you've got all these procedures you have to follow to do this and that and that. It doesn't work.
No.
I break procedures. Ask my wife.
I know what you're saying, but that's okay. You've got your own thing. You can do what you want to do and the way you want to do it. Set your own rules and set your own pathway. And that's independence, and that's somewhat courageous, right, to do that, because some people just are afraid.
Well, at the end of the day, you're also responsible for where you ended up.
We all are.
Yeah.
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 So let's take it and go with it. All right. So you're designing. First thing you do is meet the customer.
I need to get to know them.
And then what? I mean, you've got one that's coming up on Lake Norman, I think.
I do.
And
yeah, they're doing a almost total makeover on that home.
Yep.
And so I've met the client, met them both, and they were both on the same page, okay? And the we're moving forward. I went up this week to measure the house. That's a separate meeting for me. That's work, you know.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
pulling you're, out a tape on, measure, on, yeah. pulling out a laser, and I'm measuring, taking notes and pictures and photographs, and it takes an hour to do that. And no, the first meeting is just getting to know them, and then I'll go collect my notes, and then I'll draw what they have.
Okay? Sure, existing.
I'll recreate what they have in my drawings, and then I will do make the remodeling, addition, remodeling, whatever, and attach it to the house. And now I have something to present, okay? And we'll get together again, and we'll share that. And again, now I'm still learning, you know, here I am presenting my art project, if you will, and I want them to like it, okay? I hope they like it. And
it's critique time.
It's critique time, yes. And that's where they get to share what... The funny thing is, a lot of people don't really know what they want.
I know.
Okay? Which is... It makes it a little bit easier for me. Well, easier and more difficult. I don't know. But you have to be a leader. You have to guide them and show them, you know, well, this is how this works. And I've had people come in and they want a room that's 8 feet wide by 30 feet long. And I say, no, that's not going to work.
Right.
You're going to feel like you're in a bowling alley. That's not, you know, so I can guide them and lead them to something that is going to work.
Right.
But it's about getting to know your people and knowing your craft. Okay. If I'm a carpenter building a table, I've got to get to know the people and understand what it is they're looking for. And because there's how many different types of tables are there? Okay. And, ultimately, I want them to fall in love with the table that I'm making, so I need to get to understand what it is they love about a table, and we'll put that into it and build it, and then they'll love it. If I don't listen, then I'll end up with a table in my garage because they didn't buy it.
Listening is key.
Yeah.
Well, listening is the most important thing we do anyway, but men have a hard time with that. It's a little harder time listening.
Apparently.
They do. Yeah. And people say, well, if that ain't the pot calling the kettle black. But then again, I do listen a lot. I talk a lot, but I listen a lot. It's absolutely required to do anything. It requires listening. And some people listen to respond. You know what I mean? They want to talk, but they don't listen. They just want to respond. So, you know, like you said, learning people. And that is another part of Put Tools in Schools, like you brought up. You know, you've got to work with people. You can do nothing in this world alone with great success. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Oh, I agree. Yeah.
We're here together for a reason. It's God's plan. We were put here together. Because we operate together. It takes a village. And that is why we're meeting Thursday night. I want more people. You know, I want more input. You know, I don't have all the answers to everything. Do you?
No, but somebody has more answers than I do.
Yeah. Yeah. But we can listen and talk and come up with the solutions if we just know how to communicate. And don't be afraid to tell the truth and communicate. You know, a lot of people are reluctant to do that. But you can feel it, can't you?
You can.
It's amazing. And then, all right, how long roughly does it take to plan a job? Or is that a fair question?
It's a fair question. That's a difficult one to ask. How long does it take an author to write a book?
Well, there again.
It might take a couple months, might take a couple years. It has a lot to do with the communication, though. It really does.
Right.
When I finish a certain segment of a project and send it to the owner, it's the ball's in their court. If they don't open up my email for 2 weeks.
I gotcha.
Okay, then it takes a little bit longer. If they change their mind along the way, it takes a little longer. I try not to put a limit.
Time limit.
A time limit on that first initial part of a project design, because I want to make sure that we've uncovered every, you know, turn every leaf over.
Sure.
Okay.
When you draw, like this job you're planning up here, is it a complete redo? Complete remodel?
Lake Norman?
Yes.
Yes.
Kitchen, baths, everything.
Oh, it's everything. Yeah, we're going everywhere.
So are you going to pull, just curious, are you going to do all the bath, kitchen, and everything, cabinets, layouts, everything?
I do generic layouts for those things, for the like the kitchen. Okay.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking.
Yeah, I don't get into...
cabinet layout.
The yeah. actual, yeah, the, you know.
So you pull a kitchen cabinet dealer kitchen?
No, I just use a generic cabinet, honestly, that I created just okay. so that I can put it in there and stretch it out, and you can see that there are cabinets there. And what's more important to me is to know whether they want, do they like to cook?
Oh, absolutely.
So that's
sure.
that's a question
that's a
that comes
one.
Up.
Yeah.
And some folks, honestly, we never cook. We eat out all the time. And I'm like, okay, so that's not a big deal for them.
Right.
Some folks love to cook, and I know they want a 48-inch Wolf. Okay.
Yeah, sure. Well,
I got to have room for that. And if
then you got to vent that.
And then
sucker.
I got to have walking room behind it. And do you, what kind of sink do you like? And do you want your range in the island, or do you want it, you know, up against the wall with a big, you know, decorative cabinet hood or something,
or a pot filler behind
yeah.
it, or whatever, yeah.
And so all those kind of questions, and I'll make sure that we have the elements in your kitchen that they want. But where you want to put your silverware or your spices, that I don't get into that.
So therefore, a kitchen designer maybe or cabinet dealer, whatever, gets involved
yes.
on the fine tuning of
yes.
kitchens. You know, got it.
Yes.
All right, I want to talk about accessibility and that sort of thing.
Yeah,
as
we
well.
Talked about that earlier this week. Let's
yeah,
do that
because
we come
it's
back.
Very, very important because we take life for granted. So we'll talk about that much more. You're listening to Fox Sports Charlotte, about your house on Fox Sports Charlotte, 94.7 FM, or stream us live on your browser, foxsportsradiocharlotte.com. That ought to do it. Or if you have Alexa. Tune me into Fox Sports Charlotte. She'll take it from there. We'll be right back.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound?
All right, welcome back. George Hobel, Ray Terry, talking to you about your house. Remodeling, designing. You know, George Hobel here is a designer, but he's also an ex-remodeler. You know, there's some firms out there that are design-build firms. And they'll design it, give you a contract and a design agreement that you pay for. And you don't have to use them for building, but they're, you know, up front they're going to get some kind of an agreement established that they're going to design the project. And then their company can't design build, meaning they'll design it and build it. But George, on the other hand, is the alternative, just like an architect or a designer would be. You're going to call him in to do the design work, front end work. It's completely done on paper, right, George?
Yes.
And then
it's completely done in my head, too.
Well, yeah, oh, I get that, believe me, because I know drawing. I was a design build remodeler for long time, and I drew everything we built. I mean, drew everything and designed it myself, and it was a lot of fun. But you as a designer, we're talking about the kitchen, but You know, that job I'm talking about up at Lake Norman, because I just happened,
yes.
Matter of fact, I probably will finish his job next week. Vent Hood came in. But they're older. So do you cover accessibility in the conversations? Because I know that I've gone in, and I'm not picking on you, George, at all. But I've gone into some remodeling projects that these people were retirement age and beyond, and there was no accessibility planned in the job. I'm saying, I'd go in a shower, and it had a curb and a small opening. I said, what in the world is this all about? What do you mean?
Yeah.
Well, why didn't you plan some accessibility? Well, we didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
You're the professional. Why didn't you talk about it?
It's a big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, especially in today's world, is so vitally. I mean, it's vital that you discuss accessibility. Now, what do I mean? Talk about aging in place, open showers, curbless showers, linear drains, floor drain. I mean, you know, just. All these things, do you get into that?
We do, yeah. Yeah. The linear drains, the curbless showers are great. I've seen some, you know, some people like to have their commode in the shower, too. I don't get that.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know how do you.
Really?
Yeah, I've seen that, yeah.
They wanted their commode in the shower.
Yeah.
Well, I guess like a bidet, kind of. Yeah. Oh well.
Okay.
you know, whatever makes you happy.
Yeah.
You know, it's your house. You know, but accessibility is a key factor. You know, steps. I've talked people out of buying houses because there's too many steps. They said, "What do you mean? We can go up steps fine." I says, "You can now."
Yeah.
How old are you again? Well, I'm 57. I said, "Yeah." Ain't gonna be long.
Yeah.
You know, you need to plan for these things. Is the point?
Well, you can have the conversation.
Yes.
If the client doesn't want to go there.
That's there.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
I've got a new construction project right now that they're not looking for that much square footage, but they want to lift it up. And I'm like, okay, you realize that means you go upstairs every day, every time. Upstairs every time. Every time.
Right.
Every time.
Yeah.
What about
that's
it? Okay.
What about elevators?
Yeah, you can do that too.
Have you put any elevators in?
I've put elevators in. I put an elevator in a home, existing home, up on Lake Norman. Gosh, this was 25 years ago. And it was a little house built in the early 80s up on Lake Norman.
Right.
And his wife was aging. Oh, they both were aging, but his wife couldn't do the stairs. And we got in there, and I found... It's almost like the builder designed this perfectly for me, because there was a closet downstairs that was 5 feet by 5 feet, and directly upstairs there was a closet that was 5 feet by 5 feet, and I was able to put an elevator in this existing home, and it wasn't that bad. It was
all you had to do is remove a floor system.
Yeah, remove the floor, both levels, remove the floor, because the elevator has a pit. And we put an elevator in that house. It made, you know, it made their life. Now she could get upstairs.
You know, and I bring this up on the show because when you plan a remodeling project, you need to plan it thoroughly, because you only want to do it once, really. But elevators are not as expensive as they once were. And they can open up a whole different bunch of possibilities that otherwise you couldn't get. So it's something you may want to consider, especially for aging. Because, you know, hey.
I did one just recently for, this is a house out in Washington State. They didn't have a space inside the house to put the elevator. So the entire shaft it's an addition. It's attached to the outside of the house. But they needed a way to get up.
Hey, you got
to. From the ground to the main floor, that was 4 feet. And then from the main floor to the upper floor, that's another 10 feet.
Right.
And so they have an elevator shaft now.
And they work. They're great.
Yeah.
But don't skimp on an elevator either. If you're going to put an elevator in, make darn sure you get a good one. Because there again, you only want to do it but once. And, you know.
And you don't want to get stuck in the elevator.
No. Not even in your own home.
I had a project, Ray. This was a good story. Built a new house down in Piper Glen 20 years ago. And, you know, they had an outdoor upper-level balcony, okay, with no stairs that go down from outside. Just you could get out onto the balcony when you were upstairs, but to get off the balcony, you had to go back in the house. So it's about 10 o'clock at night, and I get a phone call because the folks went out onto the balcony and locked the door behind them without their key. Like they pulled the door shut. And
oh,
it was locked.
Oh, yeah.
So they're stuck on their balcony. They can't climb down and they can't get in the house. But they did have their cell phone. And they called me because they were locked out of their house on their house.
That's kind of funny. What'd you do?
I had to get in the truck and because I had keys.
Go let them in.
Yeah. I had keys, you know, for every house I built. And they knew that I had the key. So I had to go let them in. I had another one around the same time period. They walked to a neighbor's house for a New Year's Eve party, okay, because they were in the neighborhood, and they when they left their house, they locked the doors, and they walked to the neighbor's house. And, of course, you know, New Year's Eve, you're out late.
Sure.
Okay, so it's 1 a.m., and they walk home. And that's when they realized they locked themselves out of the house. And they tried everything to get in, and they called... I was working with the premier custom home builder here in Charlotte at the time, and they called the office in the morning to complain about the house the next morning. And I got to, you know, I didn't answer the phone, but I got to read the complaint. The complaint was that I built the house too tight and they were not able to break in.
That's a complaint.
That was the complaint.
Got it.
Yeah. They had to have the police or somebody had to come out in the middle of the night to let them in their house, and they were livid because they could not break in.
Oh, my goodness. It takes all kinds, I guess.
Yeah.
Can't win them all. Can't please everybody. But that pain probably went away.
It went away.
It does. You know, that's another thing, folks, I've learned through the years. No matter how bad a job might turn out, the pain does go away.
It goes away.
It goes away. And it's amazing because I would ask personally to be a sponsor of this radio show. For years, people, you know, just because you want to be a sponsor doesn't mean you can be. I have to check you out because, you know, just because you want to spend money, that don't mean you're good, you know. But I would ask this question. I want the name of your worst customer ever.
Mm.
And they look at me like, what? What? Why? I says, well, one, if you tell me you don't have one, you're lying. I know you're lying to me. Second, I won't talk to them. What? You're going to talk to them? Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I think you'll be amazed. And, you know, I think you really will. Now, I'm not picking on you. I just want to know your worst customer ever, you know. But it was amazing because everybody has a worst customer.
Yeah.
Everybody in remodeling.
I still remember a lot of them.
Yeah, a lot of them, yeah. You know, and, you know, I'm not picking on people and saying they're bad, but there's some bad customers now out there. Yeah. Sorry, people I wouldn't want to work for again. You know, I can think of one really prominent, I'm not going to mention any names.
I could give you names and numbers going back 20-something years. Not numbers. I don't remember the numbers.
Yeah. I think we all set out to be the best we can be, you know, when we do a job for people. And I know that I want my customers happy. I truly do. And try to do everything in my power to make sure we can achieve that happiness. You know, and I'm sure you search for the same thing. But on this planning, designing you do, okay, George, do you pick out plumbing? I mean, because is there a budget involved with your remodeling design? In other words, on a piece of paper, without selections of cabinetry, countertops, plumbing fixtures, that sort of thing, a budget would be hard to go with.
It's hard. Yeah, I'm not involved in the fixture selection.
So that was my okay. So you don't go that route.
I'm not that. No, you're already dealing with your builder at that point.
Okay.
Okay.
Plumbers and
the
trades come.
I'll be involved with window manufacturer selections because that's kind of
in the design aspect.
But no, you're getting into ceramic tile and granite styles and colors and backsplashes. I'm not. I tell people this. I'm not your color guy.
That's where Steve and Amy, you know, they were in the studio.
Steve and Amy with Lakeland.
Lakeland, yeah.
Yes, and that's what they do.
That's right.
And
but you design for them, don't you?
We've actually started
to partner. And then Amy
comes
in. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And so we do. We help cover all the bases then from the beginning of design all the way through to making those selections and then getting it built because they'll get it built.
Sure. But you bow out at that point.
Well, we're working on a plan for engagement so that I can help oversee.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Gotcha.
I remember when I was building, one of the things I hated most was when the architect came out to walk through. Gosh, I hated that. because they're picking it apart, you know. But now I do that. Okay.
Right.
I'll go. You know, I've got a project that I designed, and that's my baby. Okay. And I want to see it come out of the ground and come alive the way that I drew it. That's exciting.
Yeah.
To drive by and see something that you drew, and like, oh my gosh, there it is.
Right.
Did a little house over on there's a small private lake down near Kings Mountain,
mm-hmm.
and I did a little house over there for a couple, and. You know, I get to see the drawings. I don't draw in color.
Right.
Okay? It's just line drawings.
Sure.
And I went out to look at the house, and when I turned the corner, and there it is with this big, bright blue, it was, for me, it was like unwrapping a Christmas present.
That's awesome.
Okay? It was so exciting to see that house that we drew and created, and there it is. There it stands. They did it right. It looked just like the drawing. I've had the flip side happen, too, where I go out and go to look at the home, and I'm like, oh, my gosh.
This is not what I drew.
That's not what I drew. Yeah.
That's a bummer, though.
Who put plaid on that? Yeah, no. Yeah, not happy.
But it happens.
It happens.
That's a builder era there.
Yeah, and so I do like to stay engaged. I've got one right now that just went out the door, delivered the plans this week. The house is in Conover, up near Hickory.
Mm-hmm.
And interesting design.
New house.
It's a brand new home, and they're using the ICF walls, forms.
Oh, okay, sure.
It's styrofoam. Styrofoam blocks. It's like building with Legos.
Sure.
And then they fill the cavity with concrete. And so I'm looking to stay engaged on this one, to go up and see the different steps along the way. Interesting project. So the couple that is building the house, they're moving here from Indiana.
Awesome.
And their son-in-law lives here in Charlotte, and he'll be building the house. And we just finished the designs. The plans went out this week.
Great. Well, you're a pretty busy boy.
Pretty busy.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Glad for you. So life is good.
It's working.
It's working.
Yeah. I found a path.
Cool.
Yeah.
And you're a happy boy.
Happy.
Happy, happy. Good. Is your son helping you any?
No, we're taking a different direction right now.
I got it.
I'm looking for help.
You're looking for help. What do you need help for? I mean, with?
The drafting.
The drawing aspect?
Yeah. The notations, the after it's designed, there's a lot of notes that get added to a set of plans to transform it from a piece of art into something that's buildable, that a builder can follow the instructions to read. And that's all drafting. And I don't mind doing it, but there's a lot of work going on, and it just means that I end up working a lot of hours.
So gotcha.
I'm looking this year to work a little bit smarter that way and have some help to help me do that so I'm not covered up.
I hear you, and plus it'll help.
And then I can focus more with the people.
Yeah, and also it helps train them to step up too if that gives them better purpose, greater purpose, and teach them.
Yeah.
So, and requirements for that job?
You got to know how to use a computer. Okay.
So you do all your work on CAD, basically.
It's in a computer-based program, yes. And construction knowledge would be fantastic.
Right.
You know, because you kind of got to know what you're putting on the paper.
Right.
You can work from home. It's all remote. I don't have an office. I work from home, and we can use the internet and email to send drawings back and forth. But self-starter would be great because I'm not going to be there looking over your shoulder, okay? It's an interesting field. It's an interesting position because it's not working in the trades. It's not like an electrician or a plumber that has to go to the job site to use their tools, okay? You're talking about tools in schools.
Sure.
And there are some kids I know that wouldn't mind being in construction, but not necessarily with the tools.
Well, and that's kind of the meeting tonight because, you know, everybody brings something to the table. You know, there are people that can help. Thursday night. Show up Thursday night at 6 o'clock at Emerald Lake Country Club. Emerald Lake Golf Club. Same thing. It's just a golf club. Anyway.
If you show up tonight, bring a snow shovel because we won't be meeting there.
Yeah.
But they'll need some help.
Don't show up tonight. Yeah. But that's the reason everybody brings something to the table. You know, if you know how to do databases, well, we got to collect all the people going to play, right? Then we've got to come up with a database of where we're going. How do we know where we're going? What schools we're going to be in? Well, how many fathers we got that got kids in that school? That's the school we want to be in, wouldn't you think? Let's get the fathers involved, the parents involved. You know, well, we got to keep track of all this stuff. So you don't have to know construction to do that, to help with that.
Good point.
You know, there are things, you know, we're going to have events. You know, we're going to have traffic issues. You know, we're going to have, well, just policing issues. You know, we need people there to help, you know, guide, mentor, be a part of it. You know, we all bring something to the table, and I want different elements to the puzzle, so to speak, right? And you don't need to know construction to help. Everybody thinks you got to know everything. No, and with your situation, now background in construction is very beneficial. Well, it's an absolute in your case.
Not necessarily.
Okay.
It's learning how to work with a computer. Are you good? You know, I tell you what, when I was a kid and they had all those little video game things, handheld stuff, and I never had much of them, but it's interesting to see how that has become what we everybody has a phone that you use your thumbs, okay?
Sure. We're animals.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You know, I talked about engagement and tools. Most important tool we have in business is this stupid phone. You know, face it, it is. Without this phone, pretty much dead in the water. Most important tool, other than a truck or your vehicle with tools in it. You know, and I look at a truck as probably one of the most important tools you have because that's your toolbox. I mean, if you've got you work with your hands and your tools. But this phone here, I don't know what we would do without it. But I think back and what we did without it. I'd like to go back there, honestly. I would. It was a simpler time. Way too much information. But it's engaging. Otherwise, why would everybody be holding one wherever they go, looking down, walking, on their stupid phone?
It's amazing.
They're engaged with their hands, then their mind, with this phone. Same thing with tools. But at the end of the day, you can see what you did with tools. You can't with this. You know, it's a kind of a crazy world we live in. You know, speaking of technology, Ryan Locklear's in the house. Scooch up, Ryan. Talk to us a little bit here.
Oh, yes, sir. Absolutely.
What you're on? your own. Oh, by the way, folks, we are streaming live on Facebook right now, if you care. And if you don't, we're still streaming live on Facebook. Ryan Locklear, good morning.
Good morning to you, sir. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure.
I met... Well, I got to take a break here. Oh, I wasn't looking at the clock. You just hang on. We'll be back. We'll talk to Ryan here in a minute. But we're going to take a break here. And on the other side, we're going to find out Ryan's take on technology. He is a, I don't know what he is actually, but he'll tell us when we get back. He's going to help us update the website. So we'll have greater connectivity between this show every Saturday and the website for resources. We're getting there. It's taking a little time, but we found a home right here on Fox Sports Charlotte. This is About Your House, and we're going to take a break. We'll be back on the other side. You want to give us a call, talk, do whatever, 704-227-8800. We'll be right back.
My girl, she used to be my girl. She used to be my girl. She. Here's my story, it's sad but true. It's about a girl that I once knew. She took my love, then ran around with every single guy in town.
Hey, hey, whoa.
Welcome back. It's good to be back. We're talking during the break. Are we still streaming live?
No, we're turned off. We'll stream back at 10.
We'll stream back at 10. We're talking about, you know, what we do. And Ryan's sitting here talking to Ryan Locklear. Ryan, what do you do?
Okay, well, I've been in media for well over 20 years now. I've worked everything from print, going into web, and now basically fully immersed in digital. Most of what I handle, and I'm going to put this in much layman's terms as I can, but I bring functionality and immersive qualities to creative and websites. So instead of just looking at a static website, now you have the option to play with like radio or sound features, or if you want live streaming video. These are just things that we're talking about doing on the website now. So that's essentially what I do in a nutshell. And as always, you know, always feel free to look me up. And if you have any questions, I'll be happy to provide my contact information at the end.
There you go. Yeah. Well, and he's with us here in studio today because he wants to feel it. Yeah. And, you know, we're talking about George here designing. You got to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if you're passionate about what you're doing, you got to feel it. I mean, it's part of the passion.
Right.
You know, and that's what drives us, isn't it? I mean, it's just feeling it, you know. So I'm glad you're here with us, and I'm glad you're helping us with the website so we can have greater connectivity to the listeners. And that's something we're going to achieve along with puttoolsinschools.org. We will improve that as well as we move forward. So 2022's busy year. I'm grateful for Vicki Samuels for coming on board with About Your House as well. Vicki's been a blessing. Wouldn't have gotten you probably if it wasn't for Vicki.
Oh, no, Vicki is, she's definitely, like, when it comes to putting talent together or just finding where different people, you know, mesh well together, she's definitely the resident expert when it comes to that. So.
Well, I'm just real fortunate that she's helped us. been a part of mm-hmm. our growth here at About Your House. This year is going to be a great year, and I really am grateful for George here. George has stepped up, and we're going to reach out to other people to come in here and guest host and play. But George is, he and I share a lot of the same feelings about a lot of things, and good, bad, indifferent, whatever it is, it is. Both rebels at heart, basically. Don't like playing by all the rules because, frankly, I've learned something. The rules are there just to confuse you. and you know, I don't like that. So I kind of bob and weave my way through it and come out to the other side A-OK. But, no, rules are they're meant to be maneuvered.
Maneuvered,
yep. Yeah, that's for sure. You know, now, I'm not saying to break them all, but I certainly don't play by them all.
I've got a client right now that I was communicating with last night. Mm-hmm. He wants a drawing for a porch, and he called me. He's a builder. He called me last night or sent me a message and said, I don't want the complete set of drawings. I don't want all the details that you normally put on. Just give me a few details, some measurements, and my builder's going to build it like this. And he told me how his builder was going to build it. And I had to say, that's not going to work. That won't stay up. You're trying to disobey the rules of gravity, okay? You can't disobey that rule.
No.
And he said, don't worry about it. My builder's done plenty of these like this, and he'll get the engineer to sign off on it after it's built. And I just flat told him, I said, well, you need to get that guy to do your drawing because I'm not going there.
So that was smart.
Kent, I'm not doing it.
That was smart, yeah.
Reading a book. I just started reading a book yesterday, as a matter of fact. Don't even remember the title, but it was talking about Book Yourself Solid. Is the name of the book, okay? And it's talking about finding your ideal client. And I realized right away, he just stepped out of the box of my ideal client. I don't need to work with them.
I hear you. You know, you can't work for everybody.
No.
Nobody can work for everybody. And that's a lesson in business. We're talking to Brian Harmon. Remember Brian the other day?
Yes.
You know, and he said flat out that he wish he would have learned that earlier. Because, see, early on, you know, your ego takes precedence.
Well.
And you just want to please everybody, and you want every job.
Because, no, you want to eat. Early on, you want to eat.
Yeah, and pay the bills.
Yes.
Granted, yes. So you just work for anybody. But, no, sometimes it don't work. It, you know, you should have been better off watching Oprah.
Yeah.
Sitting on your butt at home, you know, because you can lose money a lot more comfortable that way.
Jack, you remember Jack Davis?
Yeah.
We used to have a thing that when a client would call in and want to remodel their home. Now, we were joking. We never said this to anybody. But just between him and I, we would say, look, why don't we just send you a check today for, you know, this is their first call. They're calling in to get us to come out and remodel their home. Why don't you just, we'll just send you a check today for $50 and call it even. And we're a whole lot farther ahead that way than spending 3-4 months with you and losing $30,000. We'll just send you a check today for $50. we never did that.
I know that. I understand. But the logic, I get it.
Yeah.
You know, I do. You know, I love people. This is a people business. You know, and it's like you said, George, listening. And I tell you, the listeners out there, if you're planning a remodeling job this year, plan it thoroughly. Once again, your staging has become the thing of the proper methodology of construction would be to stage your job, meaning get all your materials in. Windows, cabinets, appliances, stage everything you possibly can because of you can't get stuff. And the shortages and the delays are still with us. And they're going to be with us. The cost increases. They're up, they're down. They're all over the place. You know, it's amazing. Talked to a window supplier last night. He said it blows him away. What people are paying for windows now.
Mm.
It's incredible. The price increase on windows. And, you know, so, you know, you're going to stay, you need to plan your jobs, make sure the materials are available. And not only that, get them on site or somewhere, wherever that might be. If you've got a garage, you can use the garage. If you've got a container in your driveway, you could use a container. Whatever your method is. I even thought about renting my warehouse space for staging. You know,
you could.
You sure could, because it's becoming.
It's a thing.
It's becoming the way to do a job, because you don't have a choice. You know, you need to make sure your materials are on site. You know, I told a lady this morning. She called me. There again, same story, different day. They're going to, my cooktop's going to be in Friday. Can you put it in on Friday? I says, no. She says, well, they told me it'd be here Friday morning. I said, yeah, I know they told you that. Guess what time it got there? About 5:30 in the afternoon.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, how was I supposed to put it in? You see, but she understood why when I told her. I says, just get it. Get it. Check the box. Make sure it's not damaged, you know, and call me when you get it. And now I know it's there. We can do it. Yeah. You know.
So you do, tell me what you do, Ray. You do a lot of different things still. You're in and out of people's homes, and you got dryer vents, you got ranges, you got range hoods, you got, what?
What do I do?
Yeah.
Whatever I want to.
Yeah.
I do ventilation of kitchens, basically. Now, the dryer vent business, it's going transitioning to Steve Helms.
Got it.
He was on the show last week.
Yes.
He's taking over the dryer vent business. And then I, on referral basis, put in vent hoods.
And ranges.
And ranges and appliances and
that
odds and ends.
That takes a lot of understanding.
Well, as a remodeler of 50 years, predominantly in kitchens and baths.
Yeah.
I designed kitchens from start to finish, installed them and everything for 35 years.
Yeah.
So I became very familiar, obviously, with appliances. And I like to cook.
Okay.
So I love installing vent systems. I know that sounds crazy because HVAC companies don't like doing it. HVAC mechanics don't like doing it, yeah. Typically. Now, yeah. There are exceptions, of course, but, you know, I've got one to put in now up in Gastonia, and I've got another one to finish up over in South Charlotte. But that's what I do when I do anything
okay.
Now, but I am backing out gradually this year of doing anything unless I want to do it, okay? But people call me and ask me, you know, to – come look at vent. I've got to look at a ventilation system now. With the pandemic being what it was, everybody, you know, living in their homes, vent systems became very prevalent.
I'll bet.
Very popular because people use their kitchens. Much more. Matter of fact, we never in this country have cooked as much as we did in 2020.
Yeah.
2020 was probably a record-breaking all-time high for people cooking in their homes. Sounds crazy, but it was that.
Well, I remember when we first went on lockdown or whatever you want to call it, and I went and bought some stuff at the grocery store like everybody else did.
Sure.
And one of the things that I wanted to have some flour and some yeast because I like baking bread.
Right.
And I'm like, if I'm going to be stuck in the house, I'm going to have some fresh bread.
There you go.
And there was no flour.
It's crazy.
People were not just cooking, they were baking.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing what we did. But hold that thought, because I got to take the top of our break. We'll come back on the other side, and we'll talk more about, you know, what I do and what we have done collectively in this country we live in as far as our homes and living in them. And speaking of which, I want to talk a little bit about this cold weather and things you might want to think about now that the cold has hit us in a big way. It was below freezing all day yesterday. So that's cold. That is winter. We'll be back to talk about it right here on About Your House. You're listening to Fox Sports Charlotte. Download the free app. You can stream us live anywhere, 94.7 FM, or load us in your browser, FoxSportsRadioCharlotte.com. We'll be right back with more About Your House.
Well, might as well get this day underway. Let's face it, this honey-do list ain't gonna do itself. Of course, I could use a little help. Ah, there we go. All the help I need. It's About Your House.
Oh, this old house once knew its children. This old house once knew its wife. This old house was home and comfort as we fought the storms of life.
About Your House is brought to you by Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed contractor in North and South Carolina, servicing both residential and commercial with 7 offices. A trusted and professional foundation solution since 2002. If you have a problem, we have a solution. Call toll-free 877-770-7050 or online, carolinafoundationsolutions.com. Now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
Some people call me the space cowboy, yeah. Some call me the gangster of love. Some people call me Maurice, 'cause I speak of the pompousness of love. People talk about me, baby. Say I'm doing you wrong, doing you wrong. Well, don't you worry, baby, don't worry.
All right, welcome back. Hour number 3. We were talking about what I did. Go back to kitchens and using them and all. You said there wasn't any flour, you know, back. There weren't a lot of things.
No, you couldn't get flour. You couldn't get yeast.
No, it was.
Apparently, cream cheese is a thing right now.
Yeah.
You can't find cream cheese.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, good. I don't want it anyway. Nah. Well, I mean, it's what you like, but cheese is not really that good for you, believe it or not. So, you know, everything I eat now has got to be, I get off the wagon occasionally, but I try to stick to my health diet. It makes, you know, here we are. By the way, the last Saturday of this month, that be the 29th, I think it is. Tammy Benton's going to be on, Dr. Cammy Benton, MD, and we're going to talk about health and wellness. And I'm looking forward to that very much because she's going to hopefully bring some of her team in.
That's the 30th.
The 30th, yeah, there you go. But, yeah, Cammy Benton with Crew is going to be on Benton Integrative Medicine. And we're going to be talking about health and your immune system and how, you know, what you should be listening to. Okay, we're going to tell you some truths. Whether you believe it or not, you can believe who you want to. The biggest thing today on today's agenda is who do you believe and what do you believe? You know, turn your TV off to start with. Don't believe anything you hear on mainstream TV. I'm serious. It's terrible. Terrible. But, you know, it's your TV, it's your house, you listen and believe what you want. I'm going to stick to what I believe and what I know to be a fact. I'm a truth seeker, so I go after truth. So, just me, you know. But my goal is to give you, on this particular program called About Your House, is to give you the truth. And I do research all the time, way too much, actually, to find out what's really going on in the truth. And what I present to you on this show, I've done my research. I'm going to make a habit of not talking about something I know nothing about. And then I'll tell you my truth. Whether you believe it or not, it's up to you. But I'm telling you because I love you. And I mean that. I'm not telling you to be right. I don't want to be right. I just want to do the right thing by you and everyone else in our lives. After all, we're all together in this. So let's work together in this. And, you know, and everything I say, and I know, George, you're the same way, you say because you believe it to be the right thing. And if it's not, you're not there, are you? I mean.
Yeah. There are people that their goal is to deceive.
Oh, I know.
I don't want to deceive.
Of course you don't, or you wouldn't be.
There are people that is their goal. When they're talking, they're deceiving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how we got in this mess.
Good point.
So true.
Really good point. Yeah, we're in a quandary, all right. But that's okay. We'll get out of it. We'll get out of it with love, with understanding. We'll get out of it. I promise you. But going back.
Back up a second.
Yeah.
It's the 29th. That Saturday is January 29th. I said it was the 30th.
Yeah.
It's not. It's the 29th.
29th. Okay, cool. Anyway, back to the kitchen thing. Talk about what I do. You know, you plan. Well, I help people plan their ventilation, and you're aware.
That's a big thing lately.
It's been very big lately, and it's becoming more and more it's larger than it's ever been as far as, kitchens go, because people want to get the odors, the grease, and everything out of their kitchen.
Do you remember what they used to be? It used to be a fan on the wall. Right?
That yeah.
Went to the
yeah,
outside
yeah.
with a little
yeah.
chain.
Newtone
that
made
you pulled
them
that.
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Newtones. Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. I've seen several of those here lately, believe it
really?
Or not. Really? Yeah. They still are around.
I remember one. I was 5 years old and we're moving from the house that I had been born in and moving to a new home. And this is the last day. We're packing up and we're getting ready to go. Never coming back to this house again. And I reached up and I grabbed that chain and pulled on it. And it broke.
The chain broke.
The chain broke yeah. on the vent fan.
Right.
Boy, that was not a good experience for me that day. But that's my experience with vent fans goes
right,
all the way
right,
back to
right,
when I was
right,
five.
Right.
I still remember that.
We,
I got to meet my dad that day in a different way. Yeah.
In a different way.
Yeah. He was not happy.
You didn't like the difference either, did you?
I didn't
you?
Like it.
No, no. Yeah, that didn't work too well. That was a bad day.
That was a bad day.
Oh, well. You know, speaking of ventilation systems, guy calls me 2-3 weeks back and says, Ray, I was given your name because my vent hood doesn't work. We hear it. We hear it making a little noise, but it's not going high. It's not moving any air. I said, but you were given our name. And I says, fine. I mean, I'll come take a look at it. House over in Eastover. Nice house. Fully foam insulated attic.
Nice. Yeah,
fully encapsulated attic.
Yeah.
Okay, foam. Open cell. And it goes, the vent, 10-inch vent, goes through the roof and the blower's on the roof. The blower fan.
Okay. Steep roof.
Relatively. I've been on it.
Okay.
So I called him, went out there, checked my voltage coming up to the junction box there. So I've got voltage. I got a full 110 going on high because it's a variable speed, low
okay.
to high.
Yeah.
So then I said, okay. So my buddy Roger Freeman, the roofer, call him up. I want to go over there with Roger and I. And we go up on the roof together. I pull the blower motor out. But what's funny is that blower motor would turn a little bit when it was turned on. Okay? So we took the whole blower motor assembly out of that fan housing. Cause to replace the whole blower, the whole fan, would have been very expensive because we've got the foam insulated attic, and then we've got shingles. Like, these shingles were super heavy-duty shingles.
No, and not in stock.
No. No, they're not. And so I said, we'll either fix the blower, replace the fan motor. So I took it out, took it down. Well, then when I got down, and I'll admit this, there's a capacitor in there.
Yeah.
A capacitor. So I took it down, and when I got to the truck and we were leaving, I said, Ray, it could be a bad capacitor. Because that motor turned. It just didn't start. So in my mind, I'm saying the capacitor's bad. So in other words, I took the blower motor out but left the capacitor on the roof.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. But that's okay. Tells you what capacitor's on that bracket
okay.
with the blower. It tells you what you need to replace capacitor.
Where do you go to get a capacitor?
D&L Appliance.
Okay. Because yeah. Radio Shack's not around anymore.
No. This capacitor, D&L had one. Matter of fact, I've bought it already.
Okay.
I bought it when we're going back up there because I bought a new capacitor. Then, and we're going to put the blower motor back in it and put a capacitor in.
Because there was nothing wrong with it because the motor turned.
Motor turned. I mean, it was free. We think the motor's fine.
Okay.
Because I called my buddy Ron Helms. Helms Electrical. Because Ron and I go way back. And he's an older.
Helms Electric.
Helms.
What's his name?
Ron Helms. He's on the show a few weeks back. Anyway, so bottom line is I called the homeowner and says, you know, I think it's honestly between Ron Helms, me, and Larry over at Dixie Electric, that because I took the motor over there to see if they could test it. He said, we can't test that particular motor. But he turned it and everything, and I told him. I said, you know, Larry, it cranked up, but it wouldn't go. He says, bad capacitor.
No kidding.
He said the same thing. He's a bad capacitor. I says, you know, that's exactly what I'm thinking, too. So that's three. I thought that because of the just what it did. Ron thinks it, and then here comes Larry saying it.
You're on.
So I said, no.
Now, what was interesting in that little story you just told is the process of troubleshooting something like that.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You could have just replaced the whole unit.
And most people would have. But then again, you got to, like I said.
But that takes you into the roof shingles, the ductwork. It's a such bigger job. But you had with your years of experience, and the answer didn't come right away.
They don't always.
Okay? They don't, no.
You have to.
You got to think it through. You got to think about it. And that troubleshooting process, is that taught today?
No. Matter of fact, he told me. He said, Ray, I called five people. You're the only person that would come out here and even look at it.
Yeah.
I says, well, I mean, that's what I do. Matter of fact, I like a good challenge. I said, but I don't want to take this sucker off your roof. You're going to pay $3,000-$4,000 just to replace this blower. And that ain't cost of the blower.
Here's something else you just said. They called five people.
Yeah.
And you're the only one that came out. I get that too. It happened to me 2 weeks ago. I'm trying to get somebody to come on out and run some Cat 5 or Cat 6 cable at the house.
Right.
I don't want wireless anymore. I want to be connected direct to the router. And I called five people. And I got a couple that called me back, but none that followed through. I finally got one. I got the Cat 5. They ran it last week. I'm set. I'm ready.
Got it.
But I had to go through what I want to what's happening there, the tremendous opportunity still exists in Charlotte for anybody who'll show up.
Yeah.
If you're good at showing up, pick your career. Pick the trade that you want to be in and learn the trade. Put in a couple years to learn the trade. And if you're a shower-upper, you're going to make it.
And if you communicate.
Yeah.
But all you need to do in this world, the most important part of life is dialogue, talk, communication. Because there's so much in dialogue that we're losing because people are afraid to talk. So to me.
And this doesn't help.
This is the problem.
I can text you, okay? That's not talking. All you get is some text. You don't really understand what was behind what I just said. That's not talking.
That's right. No, I love body language and voice, if that makes voice inflection, personality, strength of the sentences, all this stuff. It's important. Dialogue, very important. So, and that goes along with put tools in schools. And you know yourself in this conversation, you and I, we've been a part of right here on this show today, you know, the importance of language and communication, you know, and as you learn to put things together, build things, you know, you will learn how to describe that and teach people as you go. Otherwise, you don't have that experience in doing so. I've been told several times, Ray, you're a good teacher. Well, good. Thank you. I appreciate that. But that's something we need to teach in itself, is how to do something. But then again, turn around and learn how to put it into words.
I mean, seriously.
And, you know, it's very important. And it's part of what we do as people, you know, but we're losing some of it.
No, this takes it away.
Exactly. That's the thing. It's to me, it drives me crazy how people don't talk. And it's just, I don't know, we're just losing it. Well, I want to help with kids and give it back. And I think, but
that's great.
And I think it, I don't think it, I know it will be effective, and it will help kids tremendously. To instill self-confidence, you know, where they can feel free and courageous. I use that word a lot now because it takes courage because of the fear factor, because of the anxiety issues kids are having. Kids are going through hell right now.
I've heard.
They are going through hell right now. And we need to understand it, and that's the initiative right now. How can we work on changing it? One thing, take the damn mask off.
Yeah, step one.
Step one. Got to do that, folks. It's killing the kids. Literally. I know you don't hear about it, but it's going on. Suicide rates never been higher. Never, ever in this country have we seen kids take their own lives as they're doing now. It bothers me enormously. Should bother everybody. Come. Thursday night, 6 o'clock, Emerald Lake Country Club. Excuse me, say it again. Golf Club, Emerald Lake Golf Club, 6 o'clock, Thursday the 27th. And by the way, just so happens to be my birthday.
Not today.
27th, Thursday 27th. Evening. Yeah, couldn't think of a better way to spend it.
70.
70.
There you go.
This week.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Yes. I feel honored to have made it.
Yeah.
Wow, that one hit you, just saying it. 70. Damn. Woo, my goodness. All right, we'll be back right after this break and talk more about your house.
Operator, or could you help me place this call? See the number on the matchbook is old and faded. She's living in L.A. with my best old ex-friend Ray. Gosh, she said she knew well and sometimes hated. Isn't there the way this head goes? Well, let's forget all that and give me the number if you can find it, so I can call just to tell him I'm fine.
All right, welcome back. George Hobel in the house along with myself, and all about the pipes. Didn't show up today because of the weather.
Well, to be fair, I told her not to come.
Well, you know,
yeah.
I'm not saying she didn't show. We thought that she'd just take the day and not go anywhere.
Yeah, we'll pick another date.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And Mary will come on out, and we'll talk about plumbing, and we'll answer questions, and we'll talk about her story.
Yeah.
How she got to where she is owning and running her own plumbing company.
I met a female young lady out at Precision Plumbing. Back when I did a tour, they've got they do strictly commercial.
Okay.
They're not any residential. And they've got what do they call that department? It's a fabricating department where they'll build whole sections. They do hospitals and institutional facilities,
sure,
all that. And they build complete like stations for a whole wall of urinals, for example. They'll put all this in a station all together.
Yes.
Well, anyway, there was a young lady in that department putting it all that sweating the copper and putting them all together. And, you know, and I says, you know, it's neat.
Yeah.
You like this? She said, I love it. She said, not only do I love it, I want to be a plumbing contractor.
Nice.
And I said, awesome. She said, I'm going to be a plumbing contractor. And so I thought that was, it was awesome. I did an interview with her, and, you know, women have a tremendous place in the trades in working with their hands. There's more and more and more women coming to the forefront in the electrical, plumbing, HVAC, all of them. And it's, you know, very rewarding career pathway for ladies. So, you know, there again, we've got to instill this possibility and career pathway to kids, females and guys alike, you know. So, you know, there's a tremendous amount of opportunity out there, tremendous, in all aspects of the trades and construction and service and manufacturing. You can't leave it all out because it's all in dire need of help, but more so providing purpose and happiness that otherwise they wouldn't even know about. So we'll work on it together. Thursday evening, remember, January 27th, 6 o'clock, Emerald Lake Golf Club. Show up. Help us out. And what we're going to do is just take names, find out your strengths, and see where we all can work together to make some things happen. All right, going back to with George here, talking about planning and remodeling and doing what you do. Do you recommend contractors to people?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, unless the... If my client and I are introduced through a builder,
sure,
then I'm not recommending somebody else.
Oh, I understand that.
Right? I'm not going to do that.
Sure, no, you could do that.
And I get a fair amount of work that way. Projects come to me that way. And I get projects that come to me just from word of mouth, other clients, and that don't have a builder. So, yes, that is part of the discussion when we get to the final phases of our drawings is to pair them with somebody that's going to be a good fit.
Awesome.
Budget, scope of project. I don't want to refer somebody to a project that is over their head.
Oh, sure.
That's not going to work out well.
Nope.
Or that personalities won't mesh. That's not going to work out well, you know, because ultimately it all, you know, they'll.
It's about people.
Yeah.
I get it.
It's all about people.
Matter of fact, one of the biggest things I tell people, the contractor that's going to be remodeling or building your house, your addition, your project, whatever you want to call it, you need to have a great sense of likeness, okay, and kinship with that person because this is your home. And if you don't feel that, then you don't need to be working with that person. I'm just telling you, a word to the wise. Now, not, you know, we talked about bad customers, but folks, they're bad contractors. You don't want to work with. And you need to, if you feel it, don't do it. If you have, you know, and if it's about price, well, you screwed up there anyway. Because it's not about price. It's about the end results and the journey. We talked about it being a dance, remember?
A dance, yeah.
It's a dance.
It's a symphony.
Yes, it is. And remodeling is just that, a symphony. It's a dance.
How many times have you been out to dinner and you've got your meal, right? And you asked for something to be added, like bread. I like bread. I finished all my bread. Can you bring us another bucket of a basket of bread? And I've got, you know, half my meal is still here. And I like eating the bread with them. And the bread never showed up. It's a symphony.
Right.
It's got to happen.
Yep. Got to flow. Yeah. And they do if they're done correctly. You know, today is harder than ever. And that's why we said earlier, it's very important to plan your job thoroughly and stage it. And staging is, what I mean by staging is getting the materials on site or on one location. Doesn't have to be on site necessarily. You can use a warehouse somewhere, a facility, whatever. But the point is, when you have your goods, that's when you start the plan in motion. That's when you start the dance. But you can't do it without the without all the parts. So it's important that you take a look at that. You know, I'm going to go back to plumbing. You know, we were going to talk about plumbing.
Do How you, about,
go ahead. No, you.
Pipes freezing. We got, it's cold. Yeah, you talked about it yesterday.
Yeah.
I went out last night. I was probably, I hope I'm not too late. I'll find out when I get home. And wrapped up my hose spigots.
Hose bibs, yeah.
Yeah. They, if you haven't done that yet.
Yeah, you need to do it. You know, no question. But I want to talk about the freezing pipe issue. Okay. Charlotte, North Carolina. It's got to be down below freezing consistently to be a great threat for pipes freezing. Sure. Now, that doesn't mean they won't freeze, okay, like last night. Last night it got to the low 20s, felt like 17. Well, if you've got crawl space vents and the pipes are near that crawl space vent and it's open, you could have frozen pipes last night.
Yeah.
Because that air getting
windy. It's windy.
Yes,
too.
Windy. And like I said, 21 going on 17 wind chill. So pipes can freeze. Now, you don't want your pipes freezing. Now, here's a question a lot of people ask this time of the year. Should I leave my crawl space vents open or closed? Close them. Shut them down. Absolutely. Because if you've got ductwork in your crawl space, it's going to help heat that crawl space. Because you've got some minor duct leakage. I don't care what system you got. So if you shut those crawl space vents, you're capturing that heat. And therefore, less likely to freeze pipes.
Makes sense.
You know, but shut the vents.
And it keeps the wind out. The wind comes through.
Sure.
Yeah.
It makes your house warmer, actually. You know, a little bit. It's incremental. But
it's surprising how often the vent will find itself centered right where a plumbing pipe is.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It is amazing.
Yeah. And those pipes will freeze. But the greater threat, excuse me, it comes when we've got freezing temperatures over a 2 or 3 or 4 day period.
That's the big thing.
Oh, man, it is big thing.
One night, no big deal.
Yep. Two nights, real cold temps can be bad. And the last thing you want is a pipe to freeze and break. Not good. Now we're going back to insurance claims, see, and that ain't good. Ain't no fun. So,
got a friend called me this week because they had something going on with their floors. They said, George, who do we call? We got like a gap. It just showed up in our floors. And I was headed out there. They were out of town last week, but they just got back and they called me and said, it's worse. We just got back in town. The floors are worse. We figured out what happened. We had one of the big box stores, the blue one, installed a refrigerator. And when they got home from being out of town, they rolled the refrigerator out and discovered that for the past 3 months,
it's been dripping.
It's been spraying a fine mist, and it ruined their floors. It's into the subfloor. It's into the floor joists. So it's an insurance claim.
Yeah, I've been there, done that.
Couldn't tell. They couldn't see it.
I know. It's out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
Yep. That's, you know, and that's going into the leak smart concept. The leak smart, you know, detection system. If they'd have had something like that, it would have picked up.
Would have picked it up.
You know, with the technology being what it is with these leak smart programs and apps and their systems, basically, they're very effective. And they would have picked that up.
Yeah.
Sure would have. Didn't you have some?
Yeah, my buddy Felipe Cruz.
Yeah,
and he's got a product that does that, and it's not much different than, you know, you can have your watch. What do they call them? The
smartwatch.
The Fitbit thing,
Fitbit, and
it monitors everything that's going on in your body. It's not really, those things aren't good for you.
I know
the electromagnet, all that's not
EMF.
But but it monitors everything that's going on in your body. Well, that's what his product does with the LeakSmart kind of stuff. It monitors what's going on with your house when you're not well, when you're there or when you're not there.
Right.
Okay. So you can see how much water you're using, or you can tell if your water is being used, if there's water running. You know how we used to tell if there was a leak? And you and I still do this. You run out to the meter, and if that dial is spinning and none of the fixtures are on,
everything's off.
Everything's off. And if the dial is spinning at your water meter, that means you're using water
somewhere.
Could be underground.
Yep.
Could be in a crawl space. Could be behind a wall. But it's going somewhere. Well, that's what this app does. Is it measures the water flow, and if no fixtures are on, then your water should not be flowing at all.
Right.
But this thing will pick up a drip. It'll pick up that little bit of movement of water in that pipe, and it'll send you a notification on your phone. And
We need to have him back on the show and talk more in depth, because I had a...
Could you imagine what that would save you? This couple that called me this week. Okay, they're into thousands of dollars now.
Oh, big time.
And disruption in their life, because they've got to redo the floors and in the kitchen and however far that flows out into the house. And it could have been totally prevented.
Yep.
If we can save one life with one of those things, then it's worth it.
Yep.
Right?
And they work. Yep. They work. So, but back to the freezing pipes. Another thing, you know, copper pipes versus PEX. You know, PEX can freeze and thaw and not break.
Yes.
Copper will not do that. Copper will freeze, and as in the thaw cycles, when it expands and pops. So, you know, but PEX won't do that. So what's better, copper or PEX? A lot of plumbers are old school, and they don't like PEX. They want to use copper. I'm a PEX guy.
I love PEX.
I like it. Done correctly.
Now, I like to sweat pipes. I like to do that, the process of doing
it. Yes,
give me a torch and some solder, and I'll use that whole roll. I just like doing it.
Right.
Okay? But PEX is the way to go.
Yeah.
My goodness. Crimp it on there and run.
Yeah, but you know that stuff does leak from time to time. There was a pinhole came in. A line I ran for my hot water over at the warehouse. And I took a nap one day, and I looked up, and I says, well, darn, ceiling's wet. There's a stain. So I went upstairs. Sure enough, a little bitty, fine stream of water shooting out of the PEX.
It was a hole in the PEX.
Hole in the PEX. I called my buddy Ron Steele, Ron Steele Plumbing. I said, Ron. Yeah, it happens.
No kidding.
He said, I've seen it several times, you know, and I went up there, cut the water off, and cut it right at the, right at it, and put a coupling in it.
Yeah, that's neat how you can fix it like that.
Yeah, I fixed it in less than 5 minutes. I fixed it. But, yeah, so PEX is good. I like it, and it can be frozen.
But you can sweat a pipe.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember learning how to do that?
I'll never forget Harold Davis. H.C. Davis Plumbing.
No kidding.
Was taught me back in 1971 how to sweat pipes. He was the plumbing superintendent for EBS, Irvin Builder Supply. See, Irvin back in the day had their own HVAC, electrical, and plumbing divisions. So they were the they'd build all these houses. They had their own trades to go in there and do. Okay. Well, Harold was the plumber, the main plumber guy. And I was very fortunate that I could go out and learn anything I wanted to learn.
Man, that's fantastic.
On a multifamily apartment project. I could learn anything. And Harold taught me how to sweat pipes. Capillary action. Never forget
this.
This is, you know what draws that salt up in there, Ray? I said, no, he said, that's capillary action.
Yeah, see, we learn about that in school, but we're never taught how to use it. So there's how you use it.
That's how you use it. You know, but I've sweat. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I sweat many a pipe. Many pipe. Matter of fact, went over and had to, use PEX. Sometimes you have to sweat on a PEX fitting on the copper.
Yes.
Okay, we about lived.
To make the transition.
Yeah, and yeah. To make the transition. And I was under house with my brother Dale about 2 months ago. And this is funny, but it wasn't funny. I had sweated at fitting, and I went back out to the truck to get something, came back in.
Yeah.
And there was no lights on at that time under the house, so it was dark. Yeah. I looked up and saw a pink glow.
Oh,
pink
no.
glow, and I said, where's that glow coming from?
Oh, that's
and
cool.
all of a sudden it hit me. The house is on fire.
Oh, wow.
It was lit.
No.
And I told Dale, I said, we got to move.
No.
You know, we got to get water.
And a pink glow.
Yeah, and it got when I sweat that fit. But yeah. we doused it okay. thoroughly with
I
water.
I did something like that
thoroughly.
One time. I was I was rebuilding an engine, okay? And I didn't know, I'm not a trained mechanic. I just was interested in the engine.
Sure.
And the engine that I had was, it was shot. So I was like, well, I'm not going to hurt anything.
No.
So I'm going to learn.
Absolutely.
I took the engine out of the truck, and I rebuilt it completely. I mean, I took everything apart. I took the injectors apart. Every little spring, every little piece. There were no two parts left together. When I put it all back together, and I'm getting ready to put it in the truck, I noticed that there was a crack in my cross member of the frame of the truck where the engine used to sit. I'm like, well, okay, this will be fun. I'll get my welder out, okay? Because I got a bunch of tools, and I'm going to weld that crack shut. Now, in some cases, you're not supposed to do this, but I figured it would be better welded than it would be cracked.
Right.
So I climbed into the engine compartment, big F-150, so there's plenty of room for me in there. And I'm got my hood on, you know, with the dark lens.
Sure.
You can't see anything except your weld.
Right.
Okay. And I'm welding that crack shut. I had ground it down, cleaned it, prepped it. I'm welding it. Now, before I took the engine out of the truck, I thought it was a smart thing to drain the oil. Okay. So I did that. I had the oil was drained out and the engine was out. But I never moved the oil pan because it wasn't important at the time. It was just the oil pan was underneath it. I say oil pan. It was the pan that I used to catch all the oil that I drained. So I'm welding. I'm standing in the engine bay welding with my dark glasses on. And right below me is a pan of engine oil. And I'm welding. And as I'm welding, you know, you got the bright blue sparks.
Oh, yeah, you got all the fragments.
And then all of a sudden, I noticed I wasn't welding. But there was this glow coming from below me. I'm right on top of it, and I lifted up my hood, and that oil pan, the oil
was
on fire, and it's coming all the way up to my face. And boy, I jumped out of that engine compartment so quick, and I was able to pull the pan out, you know. And I'm working in the yard, and I said, well, this will be a neat experiment because now I got a pan full of oil that's on fire. And I know, I've always heard, you don't put a kitchen fire out with water, a grease fire.
Right.
Don't put it out with water.
Same thing.
So I knew that.
Yeah.
But I'm outside. And I figured, well,
let's test this theory.
I'm going to test this theory. I'm going to play. And so I got the hose out. And I know the fire doesn't like water at all. So I'm spraying the oil pan full of fire with water. And what it does is the water goes down to the bottom of the pan, lifts the oil up.
Yeah.
The oil spills out onto the yard, and now I have a trail of
fire
running down the yard. That was a very interesting day.
Yep. Fun, though, wasn't it?
It was fun.
Yeah.
I learned something. And then I finished the engine, put it all back in, and put it in the truck. But that was very interesting.
Did the engine run?
Engine ran, yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I did it. Now, interesting learning experience, though, because I knew nothing about it. I just knew from reading books or looking at pictures that, you know, the different parts, you've got cylinders and
sure.
pistons and crankshafts uh-huh. and connecting rods and all these different kinds of parts, but I never had my hands on them before. Well, uh-huh. now I did, and I took it all apart. I brought the block into a machine shop and had them clean it up. I put it back together, and I couldn't rotate it. And I had joined a forum online. This was a while ago, and I asked the question, how come I can't rotate my flywheel? And they said, well, did you put the pistons back in the right cylinders? I'm like, what, are you kidding me? There's 8 of them. I put them in a 5-gallon bucket. He said, no, they all got to go back in the same hole. Oh, I didn't know that. And so I'm immediately thinking about not geometry, but mathematics. What are the chances I can get them back in the right hole now? Well, they're all stamped, so I did eventually get them all back in the right place. But then they still didn't rotate because I had my connecting rods weren't in the right place. Had to do all that. I learned a ton.
Yeah, and most of them, but the where you learn from that is just like we say.
Experience.
You failed how many times along the way to get to the end result?
I'll never forget it.
You messed up so many times. And then you found out you had to go back and redo. But look what the valuable lesson you learned was.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And that is education.
It was education.
That is education.
It was courage to do it.
Yep.
And, learned a lot. Never forget it.
And I honor you for it. That's great stuff. 704-227-8800 is the number. You're listening about your house on Fox Sports Charlotte. 94.7 FM inside the 485 Beltway in Charlotte. You can put it on your browser, foxsportsradiocharlotte.com. Stream us live along with the free app, Stream. That's the way to hear us. We'll be right back with more about your house. Nobody wants to go to the Southern show. Oh, well.
We tried.
Here. I give you four. You want some?
I already got it.
You're not. Yeah, you do. You were. Okay, cool. All right. There you go. George Hobel, my co-host, a host. He can do it without me. So, and he will. No doubt in the future. And he'll be hosting the show about every other week.
We've got some good guests lined up. It's going to be good.
Yeah.
Talking about your story on About Your House.
Yep.
Okay. And I've got folks lined up to I want to know how they got into the business. I want to know what was their motivation and are they happy? Okay. And those kind of stories are encouraging to me. And I'm not special that way. I think those kind of stories are encouraging to anybody that has an interest in becoming happy. Okay?
Yep. Happy.
Yeah.
Happy's the key thing in life to me. We all want to be. And, you know, I ask that question. No matter what kind of group, age group, demographics I'm talking to, I ask everybody, what's the number one thing we all want in life? And we all want the same thing. Everybody wants the same thing. And they'll look at you and they'll say, money, success, star, you know.
Right.
And no. And you want to be happy. That's all we all want, is to be happy. And you hear parents all the time, son, I just want you happy. Honey, I just want you happy, right? You know, but yeah, you're going to go to college and get that degree. But I want you happy. What if I don't want to go to college and get a degree? Well, but you got to. Like, that's happy. You get my point?
Oh, yeah.
Like, no.
Yeah.
No. We got to look at it differently. You know, happy and purpose. Because once you have purpose, you're happy. Right? I mean, isn't that that's the way it works. That's a universal law.
No, without it, it's not good.
It's a universal law. Ryan, you like your job?
I actually do. But
awesome.
But I'm at a different point in my life, too, when it comes to
right. That. I got it. Yeah. Yeah. You know, happy, happy, happy. You're busy. You got a lot of work on the boards,
yeah,
right?
That's good.
Now, earlier, George, and I'm going to do a little outreach here again. George is looking for help. Everybody's looking for help. I'm not. Yes, I am, too. I got help right here and help right there and help right. I got a tribe now. I love it. They help me because without them. And you know what's funny about that is this morning we tested Darren. He didn't know this, but he had a test. See, you didn't. He turns around and looks, what? We test him. We didn't.
Was that one of them home tests?
Yeah, we didn't cut. Get out of here. No, we said last night, have you heard from Darren? No. Well, you think we ought to call him? Nah, let's test him.
Good job.
See if he'll show up. You know, that'd be a good test. Yeah. And guess what?
He made it.
I pulled up. There's his car.
Good deal.
Yay, Big D made it. And that's good. That's a testimony.
He did good.
He did great.
Yeah, I didn't make it. I was late.
George was dragging this morning. But that's okay. That's okay.
Well, I told him this morning, I said, well, you know, Ray tested you. But he said last night, well, he's from Detroit, so he'll be okay.
Well, and that probably played into it, did it not? And Darren said, oh, this ain't nothing. You know, we can handle this. You know, but he showed up, and I appreciate them both. I appreciate everybody that helps with this show. Thank you, George. Thank you, Ryan, for stepping up. I just am grateful, totally grateful for the help. And our goal this year, along with George here, is, you know, to bring about your house to you every Saturday morning. But beyond that, we're going to create connectivity in the website and the put tools in schools. But, you know, like once again, George here is looking for help. You know, if you're looking for something in the construction avenue and want to help in his drawing, what are you looking for again?
Draftsman.
A draftsman.
Draftsperson.
A draftsperson who is computer literate.
Computer literate.
And has worked with CAD programs, at least.
Any kind of mechanical drawing experience is helpful because that's somebody who understands what they're looking at when they're looking at a two-dimensional drawing.
Exactly.
That it actually is a three-dimensional representation
right.
of something. That's what's important, is somebody that has that kind of a mind.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Learning how to use the software, I can teach. As a matter of fact, I did teach a class. I had an online class for 6-8 months across the country. I had about 15 students from anywhere from architect up in Manhattan to two high school students out in Washington State.
Right.
And I taught the software.
Awesome.
Yeah. Cool. I'm not accredited teacher, but I taught myself how to use it. I figured somebody else could learn from my experience.
Well, and let me tell you a little bit about George, too. He's not an accredited architect either.
Nope.
But he can design your house just with the best of them. Not only that, he'll take care of you as far as the engineering and what's requirement on permitting and everything else.
We do it all.
That's all taken care of. So it's all above board, legit, completely 100% legal. Everything's good. There's
Those rules I don't break.
Well, you can't, really. They kind of set the standard there. So, you know, anyway, how would they get in touch with you, George?
704-499-1279.
There you go.
Or george@hobeldesigns.com.
Or that's, ask me, Ray Terry, and I'll put you in touch with him.
There you go.
You can always, and once again, ABC of the Carolinas, the Association of Building Contractors of the Carolinas, has got, in conjunction with another apprenticeship program here in town, they've got the PACE program that's starting in February. If you're interested, email Sarah, S-A-R-A, at abccarolinas.org, and tell her in your email you are interested in applying for the PACE program, a 12-week paid kind of an intro program to get you familiar with various trades, electrical, heating, plumbing. You'll work with five different contractors, to give you exposure. You get paid. You get taught. And at the end of 12 weeks, you'll have a job. Wow, what a concept. Once again, you can email Sarah at abccscarolinassonn.org. Okay, just email her and tell her you're interested in applying. She'll take it from there with you. So there you go. Once again, George, thanks for coming in today. Appreciate it.
Enjoyed it, Ray.
And what's next week got for us, planned for us? I don't know. Let's go to the calendar and see. I can't remember everything. I'm pretty good, but I ain't that good. Actually, next Saturday is Cammie Benton. That's right, doctor. Dr. Cammie Benton, MD. We're going to talk about health and wellness next Saturday. And we certainly, moving into the new year, need to address the obesity issues. And
I need to address my own obesity issues.
Yeah, we're all responsible. So, you know, we're going to hit that next week big time and probably much more. So tune in. We'll be here and make it a great week. And whatever you're doing out there, be careful, especially today with the can't keep my headset on. Today with the weather being what it is, I wonder how bad the roads are now. Because we got to go back where we came from.
Yep.
Oh, well, we'll see.
I got a fire waiting on me
you
in
do?
The fireplace.
Oh, really? I thought you were talking about your wife.
Yeah, she's waiting on me, too.
I just, kudos, baby. I tell you. Folks, make it a great week. I appreciate you, Ryan, for coming in here. Was it good for you?
I love it. It was absolutely wonderful.
Good. I appreciate you coming in. I really do. Now, go make it a great week. And remember, Thursday night, January 27th, this coming Thursday, 6 p.m., Emerald Lake Golf Club. You want to help with put tools in schools? I don't care, male, female, old, young, black, white, pink. I don't care where you're from, as long as you can speak English. We're good. Come on. Come visit us. See how you can help us. Put tools in schools. April 2nd, Trades Career Day. We're going to make it happen. May 19th, PTIS. That's Put Tools in Schools Golf Tournament. Now, go spread the love. Make it a great week. And weather's going to be good this week. Thank goodness. Go make it a great week. Thank you, George. Appreciate you.
Great.
Spread the love, folks. We love you. We'll see you next Saturday right here on About Your House.
Yeah, happiness is when you really feel good about somebody. There's nothing wrong being in love with someone. Yeah.